Welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington.
Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. So good to see you again. So this is the morning, and the birds are awake, and the alpacas are awake. I tell you how I know that, because when I got up and when I was awake and threw back the curtains, they saw me. They watched the old, they're all, some are in the stable, some are outside, but there are some that sit in the doorways of the stable. And whenever we open the curtains up at the house, they go, there's just a little movement. There's a little eyebrow rise. Not that I can actually see their eyebrows, but you know what I mean. And it's just they recognize, signs of life. Be breakfast soon-ish. They don't get overexcited, of course, because they know it still takes a while. But so they're waiting for their breakfast. So I just said last time that we'd have breakfast with the girls. We haven't had breakfast for a while. There are certain morning sounds, and the bird singing is one of those, obviously, but they're getting busy. There's still a lot more bird singing and stuff. There's a whole crowd of them. They can see me and they can hear me talking. And there's all the heads turned as I appeared just into view. So they're recognizing there's a voice. There's a voice. What's the voice? It's the voice of a podcast. So they're busy. Some are eating hay, some are just standing around waiting, and so I'll go down and we'll put some food out for them. And these morning sounds, the things that they hear, the door, the back door closing, they hear the sound of the door closing, I think. And other bits and pieces. Obviously, seeing me is a different thing. The sound of waters running down out of the lake. We've had so much rain. It's coped really well. We've got a little bit of sort of wet corners now and again in the car park, the goose yard, but most of the time it's just been ferried away down the channels. So that's normal and that's kind of okay. So let's go get this food out, see how we do. Yeah, so here we go. Food up at the high level. Taking some out, and the girls have got some stuff down the stables. Oops, mind your toes. Thank you. There's a little group of them that follow me up. Hello, Hermione. You coming back this way? Yeah. There's a little group of them that follow me up to the higher, what we call the stable paddock. There you go. Hello, Talia. How are you? She's a watcher, is Talia. She stands around and she watches, usually from a distance. Sometimes she fools me by getting ahead of the others. And there's Nona. Currently going to the loo. Bad timing, girl. The food's just arrived. She's coming now with her wonky foot. Bless her. So there's a little collection of girls that were out having hay from the hay feeder. There's a hay feeder that's kind of tucked under the trees, so I can make it easier to let them have it, even though it's going to be raining. It's always a challenge. You want to put hay out, but it wants to stay dry. So, but it's a bit protected by the trees. Oh, water overflowing. Well done, Steve. There we go. It always takes longer than you think, and then it does it quicker than you expect. And the water was overflowing. There's a distinctive sound of water tipping out of the... I'm going to have to take this away to spread it out, girls. There you go. You can follow me over here. So... Well, it's nice that the wind's dropped a bit. It's a bit wild. And
and it's now much calmer. Let's do some. Oh no, I know, I'm sorry. I'm taking it all. Just taking some of it. That was Megan objecting to me removing the food. Well, it was under her nose and she had. There's three of them tucking in there. There we are. Good, good. That's me turning the water off this time. It's better than leaving it running. So, there we go, girls. How are we doing? That looks tasty. You're enjoying that. There's some peas got left in the bottom of that. You want those. The robins are flitting around. I had one in the bin. Just the crumbs at the bottom, but it was coming in for the bin, which was a bit tricky, that one coming in. And they look very similar, so you can never get, I can't distinguish them. I don't spend enough time just staring at the robins. I like to watch the alpacas more, so I can't distinguish the differences. But they look very similar. They're cousins. If they're not the same, it's not the same one, but they just flit around, and they're kind of under the feet of the alpacas and under my feet, and then zipping here, zipping there. But they're getting access to enough crumbs to keep them happy and also keep bringing them back. There we go. Well, in theory it could be a nice day, no heavy rain planned or expected, but we've got some sunny intervals, I think is what you'd call them. Who knows? We shall wait and see. We won't count on them. But the wind has dropped a bit. It keeps spinning around. We've had some from the north the other day, and that was coming through the shutters in the stable, so they didn't want to hang around in there too long. It's not quite as comfortable when it does that. And then strong wind from the east, which is unusual. We don't get that all that often. And that was... that felt different. It felt cold, more piercing. And then we were back to the southwest and stronger winds. Sometimes it blows the gates and I can see what's happening. I'm just going to take a walk with the wheelbarrow. Be back soon. So we had a trip with the wheelbarrow. Some tracks and stuff in the mud which look unfamiliar. Some car had been in further than the gates would normally allow, so somebody had moved them things around a bit. But I think, I don't know, obviously, not sure where they were or something, who knows. One of the life's little mysteries again. And then the girls are just sort of finishing up. Oh, well done. Well, Meg's. So Meg's just having a few peas because she likes her peas. And there's a sound that I make. You know, talking about morning sounds. There's a sound that I make, which is, I guess it's the paper sack, me reaching into the paper sack and then the peas and dropping them in the mix of the food for next time, for this evening and tomorrow morning. But she recognises the sound. And there's a definite appearance at the door at a muscling in. She's had majority of them, I'm not sure. Oh, look at that, they're not even a crumb left. They've all gone. So, friends when I have peas, but the rest of the time she's a bit suspect as whether she's going to spit at me or not. She's a sweetie. She does know how to boss the bucket and keep the others out. There's Betsan here is trying to trying to get in and access the thing. Well, there is a bucket over there. I know. Look, I can see there's a bucket of food over there. You know it's over there as well. But you want this one, and that's the one that Megan's in. It's really funny, these little dynamics that go on, these little games that they play. Just applying pressure. Ooh, quick sneak in. Oh, she got half a mouthful. Okay, now they've moved to the, she's moved to the other side. Okay. Interesting little power play is going on. And there's a few others that are trying to get in and can't quite. They have to wait for a head to lift and then quick sneak in. And a lot of it is the older ones pulling rank. Just, I guess, they've got a bit more something about them. The pecking order makes them slightly higher just by their age. It's also the behaviour. I mean, some are much more forgiving and prepared to share, and others are definite, this is mine, you're not coming in here. And Nona is a little bit like that, not too bad. But her son, Jack, one of the boys at the top, oh, he bosses. You put the food in, we've started to spread it out now because we put the food in the trough and he'll boss the whole trough and then the one next to him. we've got a new strategy or tactic that Sue's applying up there when she's feeding them, and giving them slightly more, but doing it at the interesting who sat down there. So Nona sat over by the fence, that's interesting. I think she's all right. I'll keep an eye on, add that to my watch list. Slightly unusual behaviour, everyone else is up and feeding and she sat down over by the fence, but right over by the fence away from the food. So she has been feeding, I know that, I've seen that. But I'll just see how she is this evening, see what she's up to. But yeah, so the boys, back to the boys. So Sue's been putting the food at either end of the trough, a little bit more scoop at either end of the trough, which means that they've got easy access to it, but another alpaca that comes in isn't, there's enough space. Normally we would do it three, one in the middle as well, but no. Particularly with Jack, he's a bit more dominating and domineering of the food. So we're trying that. That seems to work, actually. If you can get them set up well, then they... That's somebody approaching from... That's a youngster approaching from behind, and Megan didn't like that, so she just gave a warning and also... Oh, no. You see, she's now switched buckets. I'm sorry. This one over here was fine and she had plenty to eat, but no, she's now moved to block and boss the food and just make the point with this youngster who's had the temerity to come in and have some food in a bowl near her. This is one of the reasons why spreading it out is useful. You work on a basis of 3 foot of headspace per animal. And then I spread it out and put, and I don't have just the number of buckets for the number of animals, but I use troughs and I use buckets, and some will share and some won't, and some like it inside, some prefer it outside, and etc. etc. So if you can spread it around, then it gives much more possibility for everyone to get a share, and they do wander. You see them wander from food trough or bucket to another one. They just mill around, and some much more than others. Some will just stand and they're going to eat whatever's in front of them and keep going, and others will move around. All of which is normal. It's all part of the interesting dynamic. You can't do a snapshot of that. You have to watch them over time and for long enough. So Steve says you can sit outside with your cup of tea watching the alpacas. It's allowed. You're allowed to do that. Pick a good day. Not too hot, not too wet, not too cold, not too windy. And see what you can do. So we're in the second or even third phase of breakfast now, where the girls are helping themselves. Hello, am I talking? Is that you come to see what I'm up to? Oh no, there's food in the trough there as well. I'm surprised she's letting you in there. Okay. They have interesting techniques to get into the corners. I often find with the troughs that there's a little kind of scrape mark on the bottom. They've obviously been in and the crumbs. Oh, there's a bit of residue here. We could have that. And then they end up kind of scraping. You see these teeth scrapes on the bottom of the troughs. Well, it seems quite peaceful here at the moment. Everyone seems happy and everyone's had enough food. Some have wandered off and some have started grazing on the grass, which is even better. There's a little shift of colour, a little bit of new growth coming through, a little bit of dieback of some other things, like the nettles, which grow like nettles. They grow, a lot of them. Whiter and more kind of stick-like, the really tail end of last year's growth. And there's a little bit of green on some of the stems low down near the ground, so that there's a little bit of growth starting to just edge forward. It's not warm enough yet. It's not had enough sun to really get them going. But so I'm just thinking, well, I can see where they are. I'm gonna strim those back to be really kind of short. And there's a lot of, you could do a lot of digging out of the roots and stuff. And where there's a big area and it's in the wrong place, it's probably worth investing time to do that. But nettles are a problem. They like high nutrient soil. They'll grow there. They're a good conversion from high nutrient soil into all this vegetation. Mind you, they grow pretty rubbishy stuff as well. And there is a plan that some people have of harvesting nettles. Oh, I just don't want to get too close to them. The sting is not pleasant. But harvesting them and using like green forage, no, that isn't the right word, green manure, that's the word I was looking for. So you can use it for composting. So you can harvest it, all that goodness that's in the leaves, then you can compost it down and you've got some good stuff then to spread wherever you're spreading your stuff, whether it's for the veg plot or whether it's the flower bed or whether it's, I don't know, where else you put your compost. We just make it and don't do anything with it, I don't know. I haven't got the right balance there somehow. It seems we keep adding to the compost pile up by the house and then not really using it. But at least it's not. At some point in the summer, in the spring summer, I will dismantle it and create a new one. And we'll take everything out that we can do. I probably need to think a little bit as well about the manure piles for the alpaca clearing, for the mucking out from the stable. It's far enough away, we're not going to get flies attracted back to where the alpacas are. That's the challenge. If you don't move your manure pile far enough away, then you end up with flies close to where the animals are housed. And we try and avoid that. And, there's a drift going on. They've all... Ooh, yes, there's a definite drift going on. That's interesting. Time for a wander. Let's go over to this other hay feeder over there or something. They're just seeing the others going and they're, yeah, come down the stable. No, we're going round. Yeah. There we go. Breakfast with the girls. And finally, I just wanted to give you an update on what's been happening in Australia. Many of you know Rita Suarez of Campo Verde Alpacas and Llamas, and she's a good friend of the podcast and been a guest regularly. Sadly, her farm was caught up in the Australian wildfire near in her area. As a result, they've lost 11 male llamas and a stud alpaca, and the farm's fences and vegetations are all been destroyed. They're rebuilding slowly. Rebuilding is probably far too early a term for what they're doing. They're surviving and they're managing and they're starting to work things through. But you can imagine what a devastating blow this has been, both for her and her partner, Anthony. And we send them all our best wishes and hope for the future. Many people have pitched in to help and they are incredibly grateful for all of that. And so I've included details in the episode notes of a GoFundMe page and also a PayPal link if you'd prefer to use that route to help financially. Don't feel you have to, but I know that some of you will want to, and that's the way to do it. And there's a link too for the Facebook Campo Verde Alpacas and Llamas page. So that's a good place to find the latest information. And we'll hear from Rita again at some point, but not just now. Okay. Sending all our best wishes. Take care, everybody. Have a good week. And if you can, go spend some time with your alpacas or somebody else's alpacas or with my alpacas. I hope you enjoyed breakfast with the girls this morning. Take care. Bye for now. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.